very exciting. I guess for you. I don't know. I don't like everyone calling this a newsman. We called it a newsman the other day. Someone. So I guess we'll call it a new start is a better term. But it's very exciting. So I figured most people lost patience with Shorash Beis by now. Even though there's a lot to do left in the Shorash Beis. We did all the stuff in the Rambam Shorash Beis, but there's a lot in the Ramban. So if you want to look through, like there's a very famous Ramban about Shtaros in Shorash Beis. If anyone knows the Ramban about Shtaros, like Reb Chaim, that's all over here in the Ramban. A few other things, some stuff about Meila. But we'll start Shorash Gimel because it's a new start. New Chevra, so start Shorash Gimel. So Shorash Gimel, the Rambam lays down that this is probably the Shorash Beis is Mechudish because the Rambam's taken Divrei Sofer. And this is probably the Rambam's more Pashut thing that the Rambam's everyone's gonna agree with more or less. The Rambam Shorash Gimel says that what gets counted in Taryag, only a mitzvah that's no Heges Ladoros. But if there's a mitzvah that's written in the Torah that's only temporary, we'll see what the machlokes might be why it's considered temporary. But I think everyone's, all the Rishonim are going to agree that we only count permanent mitzvahs, opposed to other Shurashim where Rishonim argue on. So we only count permanent mitzvahs, and permanent mitzvahs means no Haggis Ladoros, and things that are only no Haggis Lafisha won't get counted. That he begins, Shurash Shein Roy Limnos Mitzvah Shein no Haggis Ladoros. And his Rayos are fascinating, and really shed light on to defining what a mitzvah means. Duh, how do I know this? How do I know this is so passion? That I can only count things that are no Heges Ladoros. Ki Amram Tarig Mitzvahs Nemar L'Moshe B'Sinai. The Gemara Makos that we've discussed before. And how do we know there's 613 mitzvahs? Mora Hayozeh HaMisbar Hu Misbar HaMitzvahs No Heges Ladoros. How does the Gemara know Taryag? From a drasha that will tell us that it has to be Ladoros. Ki Mitzvah She'ina No Heges Ladoros Ein Kesher Lehen B'Sinai Hein Shenemar L'B'Sinai B'Zulaso. In order for them to have a connection to Har Sinai, they have to be Ladoros. So Amram Kavna B'Amram B'Sinai this is this week's parasha. How do we know that the Taryag were given in Sinai, and that means Ladoros? Torah Tzivolanu Moshe Morasha Kilas Yaakov. What does a Morasha mean? Ratzalomer Mispar Torah. How do we get the 613? The Gematria of Tough Reish Hay. Torah 6:11. So that's how we get to 613. The 611 plus the 2 from Ribbono Shalom, the 611 from Moshe, that's called Torah. And what does the Torah say about that Torah? It's that it's a morasha. What does a morasha mean? A yerusha, something that's going to be passed down and continued through all the generations. What's the biggest English word for Morasha?
Heritage.
That's much better. Yeah, there we go. Heritage, right? A heritage. And by definition, a heritage is Ladoros. So therefore, we know that mitzvos have to be Ladoros. So seemingly, this Gemara got enough press in Shorash Aleph, and the Ramban had a whole discussion about this Gemara everybody agrees to. And it's strange enough that we're going to be Kovei and say this is 613 based on this Gematria, which this Gemara that most people would say it seems like an Agadah. But the Rishonim took it very seriously. And the Rambam took it one step further, even more seriously. The fact that we're darshaning and calling it a Morasha, that's not just a way of describing what the Torah is for us. And maybe a way, you know, there's a lot of vorts on what the Morasha versus the Matana and how we should come to the Torah. We should treat the Torah on one hand as a morasha, that it's something that's coming to us, it's given to us automatically. But on the other hand, it's also a matana, and we need to acquire it, right? Yerusha, you don't have to make a kinyan on, but other things that you have to make a kinyan on, so that's the two aspects of Torah. There's a lot of discussion in that Gemara, but the Rambam's taking that further and saying that part of what defines a mitzvah is its aspect of a morasha. It's not just a way of describing what the Torah is, but if you're lacking in being a morasha, then you're not a mitzvah at all. It's not just that we should describe our mitzvahs and call it a morasha, that if you don't fulfill the requirements, what the Rambam thinks is that it lasts forever, that it's not a legacy, it's not an inheritance, then it's not going to be a mitzvah. That's Rai number one. And Rai number two is even further on these lines. The fact that the Chazal say that the count of the mitzvahs asay and the los asay are connected, our evarim, right? The ramach mitzvahs asay are connected, our evarim, and the shasa lavim are connected each and every day. And every day, the Chazal say, the Lashon Chazal, is that every day tells you, don't violate me. Each lav is connected one day. And each day tells you, on this day, don't violate this lav. So the lav are connected each day. So if a mitzvah doesn't last forever, then there's no, not by definition, there's a given day that should tell you not to violate that mitzvah. Because let's say, if all the days throughout history, if you add that up and you get to a certain number, so mitzvah that stopped after, let's say, the Mishkan, so you had all the time the Mishkan, those days told you not to violate the lav, but subsequent days didn't tell you not to violate those lav. The mitzvah doesn't last anymore on those days. It only lasts on the days the mitzvah's there. So the fact that we say that the Shasa lavim are connected days means the mitzvahs have to last forever. Again, a very strange raya that Gemara is Pashas is a Gadita. It's a nice drush that's telling you every day. You know, every day, each mitzvah, each day is making sure that they keep the mitzvahs. But you see, for the Rambam, these two Mamre Chazal are showing you, no, halachically, how do we define a mitzvah? A mitzvah is defined halachically as a legacy, as a Yerusha, as a Marasha. If you're lacking in that component, then you can't be a mitzvah. And the Tanai that every day has to tell you, make sure you keep this mitzvah, that shows you that if the mitzvah doesn't apply in a given day, then it's not a Haggis Ladoros. Now, obviously, you have mitzvahs that are Tali and Zman, you have Shabbos, but since it always comes back, constantly, Pesach always comes back, so that's not a kashal, not every day shaykh the mitzvah, but if there's going to be a period of time where the mitzvah doesn't apply anymore, so that's lacking in its components of the mitzvah. So I thought, and I didn't point this out, but I thought it was a big chiddush, both these components of using these chazals to define halachically what we consider a mitzvah. And the question is, the Rambam will show you a few examples, the mitzvahs that are no Haggis Ladoros, right? We'll just list a few. He says, the Baha'is mistakenly counting of certain mitzvahs that are not Haggis Ladoros. So his examples is the one we're going to talk about tonight, V'lo Yavol Leros Kibbalas HaKodesh, and Umana Lo Yavarod, the Avod of Leviim, V'ilo Gamkin, Inu No Haggis Ladoros, Kim Bemidbar. Those are specifically tied to the Mishkan. And then he also says, here's an example that everybody agrees that we don't count about the man. All the mitzvahs that are about the man, the written parts of Bashalach, right? Ishal Yosef Medawad Boker, no one counts as talking mitzvahs because the man was only for a specific time in the midbar. To not leave over man doesn't apply anymore. Al Tatzeres Moav Al Tisgar Abam Milchama V'chein Al Zara Shabab B'nei Amon. When you pass through the lands of Amon and Moav, don't make a fight with them. That's only a mitzvah that existed in that one specific time period. There's much more examples. So all those mitzvahs that are not no Haggis Ladoros, only Lefi Shah. So fine, they're not in Taryag, but how do we understand them in the context of where they did apply? When they did apply, were they on the same statute as every other mitzvah, or the fact that we already knew that in the future they're not going to apply anymore, so then they're on a different level of the other mitzvahs? So I think the context to understand those mitzvahs that didn't last Ladoros and were only in those specific time periods, based on a very famous question of the Menchas Chinuch. The Menchas Chinuch asks that the Isser that he describes in Dvarim of listening to a Navi, so the Torah says that if someone who violates the words of a Navi is Chayv Misa, and the parameters of when that Isser applies, he discusses if it only applies in the lifetime, or if you heard that exact Nevuah from that Navi, whatever the parameters of that mitzvah is, but there's a mitzvah that you're obligated to listen to every word of the Navi, and if someone violates the words of the Navi, Chayv Misa, and the actual Navi themselves is full of examples of people who are Chai for not listening to the Navi. The question the Menchas Chinuch asks is that if the Torah, we see in Parshas Yisro Mishpatim very clearly this way, that the Torah, the Rambam makes this very clear in Hechach Yisori Torah, that the entire Torah, all the mitzvahs that we have, how do we know the mitzvahs? How do we know the what verifies the truth of every mitzvah? Every mitzvah is part of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what makes Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu so special, that he's the Av LeNeviim, because his Nevuah wasn't just a specific Nevuah given a specific time period, but our entire Torah that we have is coming from Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, his Nevuah. So the Minchas Chinuch asks, based on the Rabban and Shorash Aleph said, according to you, Rambam, who thinks that every Derabbanan is Lo Sasser, so every time someone violates a Derabbanan, they should really be over on a Lav and an Aseh Min HaTorah. So the Minchas Chinuch says, parallel to that, every time someone violates a simple mitzvah that there is no Chi of Onshin for, even a mitzvah Saseh, or someone violates just a regular Lav, so besides the fact they violated a Lav and an Aseh, they have violated the words of a Navi. They didn't listen to the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, so they should be Chayav Misa. How come the Torah gives only specific Onshin for specific Averas, and mitzvah Saseh just have a Bittul, there's no Onesh for an Avera, for a Bittul Aseh? Everything should be coupled in the Chi of Misa of not following the words of a Navi. And he tries to give some of an answer, but he thinks that he leaves it as a stronger question than the answer that he attempts to give. So it's a very strong question that many answers have been given to. Sort of Aaron Soloveitchik says that, which will tie into what we're saying, that there's a difference between the Navi's Nevuah that was only given Lefi Shah, that's the Chi of Misa to violate the Divrei Nevuah. But to say that's going to last Lenetzach, so that's not part of that Chi of Misa, so therefore the Menachas Chinuch Kasha falls away. But the more popular answer that many people give, it's quoted in the name of Soloveitchik, but a lot of people have given this answer. I think that some people quoted Meshem Reb Chaim, that that there's a difference, but there's an inherent difference between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and every other Navi. By definition, what makes Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah unique over Shar Nevi'im is that it wasn't just a Nevuah, but each word that he says, Betar's Nevuah, became automatically a chelik of Torah. His Nevuah and the Torah were one and the same. It wasn't that there's something that's external from his Nevuah that's called Torah. Every word that Moshe Rabbeinu said, opposed to every other Navi, who was saying Dvar Hashem through Nevuah, but it wasn't, it's not koveh as the Torah itself. By Moshe Rabbeinu, his Nevuah is the Torah itself. And therefore, someone's chayv, so there's no separate mitzvah of not being over on Divrei Nevuah by Moshe Rabbeinu, because his Divrei Nevuah became Divrei Torah, and by Divrei Torah, there's no halacha of whoever's over on Divrei Torah is chayv misa, rather has each and every specific onesh. But within that context, I think we can understand the distinction, possibly, between the mitzvahs nohegas ledoros and the mitzvahs lefisha. Mitzvahs nohegas ledoros, this would be true, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah became a chelik of Torah automatically, but the mitzvahs lefisha, maybe they even, I don't know, you would have the Menachas Chinuch question, they'd be Chayav Misa, but within them there's still a certain aspect of a regular Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. That the mitzvahs that we had that didn't last forever, that were given in the time periods they were given in the Midbar, they were given not to be Kovei as Torah and Taryag Ledoros, but they were Moshe Rabbeinu giving us the command to Tzivoy Hashem. For that time period, there we would view those mitzvahs more similar to a regular Nevuah. That's just a regular Din of Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, not becoming fully Torah. And that's how we could understand how there'd be two levels of mitzvahs. There'd be mitzvahs that's nohegos ledoros, that's tayag. And even at the time those mitzvahs were given, they were expressed as a nevuah, the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu not turning fully into Torah. That's just the background for this concept of the mitzvahs and nohegos ledoros. So now we want to just spend some a little bit of time on one example, the first example. So the Rambam says, V'kvar ta gamkin zuaseinu. Zulasinu meaning the Bahag. Not only did the Bahag make a mistake in Shorash Aleph, he counted Hallel and Mikra Megillah and Chanukah as mitzvahs, even though they're a Banan. And the Bahag made mistakes by counting things that I label as Divrei Sofer from his Drashos as a mitzvah Doraisa. He also made a mistake by counting things that are not Nohegas Ledoros as a mitzvah. What is the first example? Umana Bavorsh, Shatzar Lo Yacholas Lo Yavoleros Kibolos HaKodesh. The first law that he counts that shouldn't have been counted is the last pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar, "V'lo yuvol liros kibala es hakodesh." It's a very hard to read pasuk. In context also, with a lot of different mefarshim, give exactly what's going on here. We'll see why the Bahag shouldn't have counted, according to the Rambam. Plus, the Parshas Bamidbar, it after talks about all the different, splitting up the different avodos between Bnei Kahas and the other part of Sheva Levi. So the Torah says, don't let them get destroyed. They should make sure they follow directions of what their specific avodos were, how to carry things properly. And they shouldn't come to see the Kodesh being swallowed up literally, and they'll be killed for that Avera. So what exactly is this? Rashi says, on Chumash, what does it mean, Kabbalah HaKodesh, when the Kodesh is being swallowed up and it's being covered? L'soch nirtak shalo, k'mosh apir shamala b'parshazu, parshalov beged ploni, v'chasu aso mechaseh plonis, u'balo shalo hu kisav. And the Torah earlier in Bamidbar says each kli has a specific covering that goes on it when they carried it. They would cover the Aron, but they would cover the Kalim. So the B'nai Aron, they shouldn't see Liros, they shouldn't see the Kodesh when they're supposed to be covered. Meaning they should make sure that they cover the Kalim, they don't look at the Kalim, and there's a Chiyah Misa for them to look at the Kalim. Other Rishonim The other Rishonim, I think Ibn Ezra most explicitly also discussed, was maybe an Isser Negia that we learn from this passage. They can't touch the Kalim in the times when they're not meant to be touched for them. We also cover them. He says that they both come from this pasuk. So the Rambam's puzzled. Why does the Baha'i, doesn't say much, he just says it's lie. This is a lav. Why would the Baha'i count this as a lav? To when you carry the Klei HaMishkan, to make sure you cover them, you don't see them. That only applies when the Klei HaMishkan are being carried. The Mishkan was designed to be temporary. They knew that eventually they were going to come to a permanent place in the base of Mikdash, and there's no more carrying the Kalim. So what the Isser still applies, that for whatever reason they have to move the Kalim around the base of Mikdash, they have to cover it. That's very hard to believe. And the Gemara in Yuma seems to explicitly say that it doesn't apply anymore. The Gemara in Yuma, famous Gemara, says that when they would the only regalim would come to the base of Mikdash, so the Kohanim wanted to show the Chibol of Ne'amakum that Klai Yisrael had at that moment. They opened up the paroches, and they all saw the Aron, they saw the Kruvim, and the Kruvim were embracing each other, and that's a sign in Shemayim that there was Chibol of Ne'amakum. And the Gemara asked about the Loyav Oleros Kabbalas HaKolish from Mesu, how did they do that? How did they open it up and everybody looked at it? And the Gemara says, a mashal to Akala. When the Kala is living, when she's just in Arusa, and she's still living with Beis Avia, so she's snuah with Lefnei Baila. They don't have the suin yet. She's still living in her father's house. They don't have a total open relationship yet, so that has to be covered. Once the Kala moves into Beis Baila, she becomes in the suah, so there's no need for her to be snuah Bifnei Baila anymore. So it says the same thing, that when we were in the Mishkan, we were in the Midbar, we were Lamashal, like a Kala Beis Avia. We don't have full suin with the Rabbono Shalom yet. So therefore, we had this Isser, we had to act bitznius, we couldn't just look at the Klei HaMishkan. When we came to the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaLamim, then we became like a Nesua, we had a high relationship with the Rabbono Shalom, and we could show the Chiba and open up the parochas. And there's a discussion, something I couldn't discuss, Rabbi Yochanan Fischel Perlau, in his discussion of this mitzvah, he brings a lot of the Marmar Chazals, he tries to figure out how pasha that Gemara is that at one point, he tracks within Chazal, that they do point out this idea, this balance of us being like an Arusa or a Nesua, clapping their Rabbono Shalom, but at what point did that change? That even maybe at Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, we still have the status of Arusa, but an Arusa is enough to knock out this Isser, and what about Bayis Shlishi? Will we fully get the status of Nesua? Interesting thing that I think it's in Reishid Beis, Reishid Gimel over there, and Sefer Mitzvah of Sadegon, Chelik Beis, so to track that interesting side note in that Gemara. But the Gemara clearly says that once we became Nesua, there's no more Isser, so why would the Bahag count this mitzvah? So the key to the Bahag, the Ramban fills a lot of this in, I don't have to read the Ramban inside, but the key to the Bahag is the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, in Parakan Esrafim's listing off all the different Chiv Misas Beis, and which Averos get which Chiv Misa, lists three Averos in one shot have the same interesting Chiv Misa. Hagoni v'sakisva, we'll translate what that means. V'hamekal bekosim, v'habol aramis, that most people are probably familiar with, the end of the sentence, kanayim pogimbo. These three Averos, someone who steals kisva, hamekal bekosim, which is a form of mekal b'shem, you're mekal, instead of using shem Hashem, you use this enchantment, and you're mekal someone, and your bol aramis, someone who is bol, a non-Jew, non-Jewish woman, so the halacha is kanayim pogimbo. Instead of getting a regular chiyuv misa, that's the parsha of Pinchas. A kanai, Rashi explains here in Sanhedrin. What's a kanai? Kanai pogim, but b'nei adam k'shirim hamiskanim kanosu shalmakom. People who are k'shirim, tzaddikim, who feel the kina, who feel the zealousness for their Rabbono Shalom, pogim bo b'shash aron es ha'maisa. Let's leave that part off. So they have the right to, they have the ability to kill him. It's a form of a chiyuv misa. So the Gemara says, what's the first thing on the list? Right. The second thing is a form of Mikal B'Shem. The third thing is Balaramis. What's the first thing? Hagoni Vesa Kisva. My Kisva, Amr of Yehuda Kli Sharis. It's the Kalim that are used in the Beis HaMikdash. V'cheni Omer, the Ksos HaNesech, the Pasuk in Bamidbar, Kisva calls Ksos, similar Lashon, it calls that a Kli Sharis. V'hechi Ramiza, so that, I know that Kisva is a Lashon of Kli Sharis, but how do I know that it's awesome for me to steal them? V'hechi Ramiza, doesn't say v'lo sigzol, v'lo signovu, v'hechi ramizi, v'lo yavol liroz kebalas ha'kodesh ha'mesa. Don't come, and this pasuk, v'lo yavol liroz, don't come to see kebalas ha'kodesh, when the kodesh is being swallowed up, you'll be killed. This is a remez for someone who steals klisharis. So how do you It's a remez. How do you figure out the pasuk? We just read the pasuk pretty simply, Rashi or the Ibn Ezra. Don't, when you come to carry the kelim, cover them up. Don't look at them. Or Ibn Ezra, don't touch them. How do you see from here? You can't steal the kli sharis. So the Ramban actually just notices now. I didn't notice when I saw in the Gemara. And the Ramban on his parashat Chumash, it says here on the side. He gets to the Masaras Hashas. He quotes this Ramban. Vezel shen Ramban in parashat Chumash. Shaganeva v'agezel yikru blia milashen chel balo v'ikenu v'otzosias balo mipiv. Right, to swallow something up to hide, it's also a form of hiding. What does Gneva do? You're taking something that's out in public and you're sticking it in your coat and you're running away with it and you're hiding it. You're gonna, what do you don't put Gneva out on your front lawn? You'll bury it in your backyard. You're swallowing it up. That's the remez in this pasuk. Rabban even toys over there in Bamidbar. Maybe that's Pshut Lashon Mikra in a certain sense. It's not just the drasha. We'll see it's Rabban Lashita. So that's the remez in this pasuk that you can't steal a klei sharis. So that's where the Baha'i's coming from. That the mitzvah B'shaita was one thing, but since there's a remez in that mitzvah, that's something that's no hagis l'doros, right? The mitzvahs don't mistakenly think, which you could, but the mitzvahs of the Beis HaMikdash get in the category of mitzvahs in no hagis l'doros, right? It's not ideal that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. The Mishkan was set up mi'ikara to only be temporary. The Mon, I guess, the Rambam's assuming, was set up to be only temporary, right? As soon as they crossed the Yarden, the Mon stopped. The Beis HaMikdash was supposed to be l'doros. Okay, it was built in, there's going to be a Churban Beis HaMikdash, but that's not the ideal. So all the mitzvahs of the Beis HaMikdash are obviously counted in Tayag, they're no Hagis L'Doros. So this is no Hagis L'Doros. Kli Sharis always applies. Seemingly, maybe this mitzvah could still apply. I wonder if this mitzvah could still apply without a Beis HaMikdash. There are things that have a... In Lutzri, we found things that had a status of a Kli Sharis. I'm not sure if that mitzvah wouldn't apply anymore. But ideally it applies when there's a Beis HaMikdash to not steal them. So that's where the Baha'i is coming from. The Baha'i is coming from that even though it started as a temporary mitzvah, there's an aspect of it that's permanent. But the Rambam says, but I don't buy this. That's not enough. The Rambam says, the Gemara's Lashon in Sanhedrin is remez. This is not a real din d'oraisa. It's a remez. It's an asmachta. You can't call a remez enough to count it. It says Bakur, it says remez, right? But, and the Rambam doesn't count Kfur as an independent mitzvah in that sense. So that, right, so that's part of the discussion. There's four... This is the Ramban points this out. The Ramban here says, don't be fooled by Lashon Remez. Chazal used Lashon Remez, and it's not always an asmachta. You have to know. Right. Remez l'makhtay and zom. The Gemara Yivamos and Daf. Something. The Gemara Yivamos when it discusses Shnios. Arayos. It lists all the secondary Arayos. Right? Not the ones the Torah prohibits, but the ones Chazal extended without, through the different relationships, different generations. The Gemara says remez l'shnios that are asar minayin, and then the Gemara ends up saying asmachta. So there, I think some of the mafarshim in the back of the Gemara, mafarshim there discuss when remez means an asmachta and when remez means a din d'oraisa. There's the Gemara Moed Katan about tzion kfaros. How do you know there's a remez that you have to make marking signs on a kever and say, you know, to make sure that people don't, or muzar and tuma, don't go near the kever, so you have to make it seal in the kever. So that, I think the Ritva, there's a discussion, maybe that's also a din d'oraisa. The Ramban here says that remez is an acceptable term to be din d'oraisa. It doesn't always mean the Rabbanim, but the Ran already in Sanhedrin deals with this issue. The question at hand, if you want to think that it's the Rabbanon, is then why would there be a chi of Nisa of Kanai and Pogimbo? Kanai and Pogimbo means that, you know, the Kanai could go right over to him and just kill him, like Pinchas with a sword. So the Ran says, he's dealing with the earlier mission also about Kontan also the Kippah, that's a din d'oraisa. And the Gemara over there says, in that context, there can't be such a thing that has a chi of misa that's not a din d'oraisa. So he says, Inu nachon. It can't be that there's a special halacha Moshe B'Sinai of Kanaim Pogimbo when the Avera itself doesn't have a remez that it really deserves Misa. That's the next line in the Mishnah. How can you say there's no such thing? How can there be a chiyuv misa without there being a din d'oraisa? V'chozer v'huk shulo v'ika goni v'esakizva the lace will misa b'day shemayim v'anakat linenlay. There's no pasuk that says there's misa b'day shemayim and the transfer to that misa b'day shemayim becomes kanayim pogimbo. It sounds like there's no misa except for the kanayim pogimbo. V'tiritzlay d'hara misa b'kra d'v'lo yavol l'ros. No, there is a remez. L'divrei Ramban zal ika ba misa b'day shemayim. And then he quotes another Shita, Rabino David, that it's not true, that there could be such a thing as, really, it's only a Dinder Rabbanon, and it's a special Takana Halacha Moshe Sinai of Kanaim Pogim Bob. V'chein Sovrim Chachmei HaTosos V'Ramam Zal, the Begone was a Kitzvah, Leka Misa B'dei Shemayim, Al Mikomakom Rambis Misa Hiskru B'inim Kli HaKodesh, the Balu Vadei Hainu Kishagan V'm Kin Shepard. Okay, so they explain the Rambis. So he presents this as a Machlokas Ram Ramban, which basically they're speaking out here, whether or not this is really Din Dares or not. And I think it's consistent with the Rambam. If you look into this more in terms of Kanayim Pogimbo, the Rambam has a unique sheet on Kanayim Pogimbo that it's not the Avera per se that causes the Kanals to be able to kill him. And therefore you would have a question, oh, how could it be that there's an Avera that's technically the Rabbanon and there's still a Chi of Misa of Kanayim Pogimbo? Rather, it's a certain situation of what it represents. Let's say it's a thing, but a lot of it has to do with the Chil Hashem that's involved in the action. The action per se, the Avera, as a Meis Avera, wouldn't warrant Kanayim Pogimbo. The Chil Hashem of the, right, it's in public, of the public Bala Ramis, to explain what the Chil Hashem is and Gonev is a Kisva, the Klisharis, that warrants Kanayim Pogimbo. But the way the Ramban understands Kanayim Pogimbo is that it's a Tachlif, it's a replacement of the Chiyu Misa B'Day Shemayim. Really, all these things, even though the Torah never said it, and it's not listed on Pehe about Elohim B'Misa, it's Yuchai Misa B'Day Shemayim for all these things. And the special halacha of Kanayim Pogimbo for these special things, these three things, we took the Chiyu Misa B'Day Shemayim and we put it B'Yad Adam, but we didn't put it B'Yad Adam of Arba Misa's Bezin, we created Kanayim Pogimbo.
This might be the Rambam Ramban, but when you say Chiyu Misa, you mean like Chiyuv Misa, or you mean like Baba
Machteris
type of...
No, I think it's a Chiyuv... I mean, you're saying the Ramban, for sure it's a Chiyuv Misa. You're saying it's Chiyuv Misa B'Dei Shemayim, right. Like it's placed on the Chiyuv B'Dei Adam. The Rambam, what you mean by Baba Machteris, so there's a discussion here. Rashi says by Kanayim Pogimbo in the Bola Ramis, that's what I didn't finish in that Rashi. Rashi says, Kanayim Pogimbo... Pogimbo... B'Shah Sharon as a Mesa. You can only the kanaim can only be pogeya, but if they catch him b'shas meisa, right? It's not so. The question that the mefarshim deal with here, the Miri deals with this already, and the Nachmanim deal with this is that only true by is that specially true by Balaramis? But what about Gonev as a kisva? Gonev klisharis. Let's say they catch him shaloi they meisa. With the chiyuv misa continues. So that might, but there's a double halacha of rodef in kanaim pogimbo that the guy could turn around.
Yeah.
And kill the kanai is really a rodef. The kanai is being rodef after the Bola Ramis. So that's what they discuss this over. They discuss in terms of going. I think some Achronim ask, going to Plisharis. How you can't have Shas Maisa if you see him taking it, active taking it. That's not Geneva yet. He hasn't been Kona yet. And if he already took it and hit it, so then there's no more Shas Maisa. How could you kill him? Maybe if you understand how you understand this level, so understand better. It could be that there's an expand, even though normal Geneva is one shot action, here maybe there's an expanded Maisa Geneva. So a support for the Bahag, close this, a support for the Bahag, where is this Urim was, is the Urim. Just have to figure out where it is. The Urim says, I think it's Shanayim something. Shanpei something. The Urim says, when he quotes his lav, he counts his lav, and he counts it as you should treat kavod to the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Find a moment. Shin something. You should treat kavod to the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, therefore, when you're putting the kalim and you're traveling with them, you have to cover it up, and there's a chiyuv misa for someone who steals it. So it sounds like they really come together. It's not the pshat in the Bahag is that the mitzvah was once l'shaito, a certain mitzvah, and l'doros, a different mitzvah replaced it. Really, the two chiyuvim are one and the same, and there's a hemshef. If it was just this new chiyuv that's coming from an old mitzvah, then maybe that wouldn't be enough to count it, because the ikar mitzvah, the ikar pashat dekra, is not ledoros. But the common denominator between the old mitzvah and the new mitzvah is that maybe they're both a din in zilzal hektish, zilzal beis hamikdash. The reason why the Levim, the Kohanim, when they were carrying the Kohanim English, they couldn't look at them, they had to cover them up, is because they had to show a certain kavod that for the role that they're doing, the task they have to carry the Kohanim English. They can't carry it like a backpack haphazardly, this is just the stuff they cover. They cover it up, they're not going to look at it, they realize they're carrying something that's... Oh, I found it. They realize they're carrying something that has certain chashivas. Lashon HaRim is like this, Shin Nun Beis. V'lo yavol eros kibala, v'yarisa melokecha, v'tein al panecha yiraso, v'tein kavol l'kli kedushaso. His are all kli kodesh, b'nosnim l'nirtikin, v'yarim for edinus l'doros, b'nosnim d'chsef parshim bin bar Sinai, v'lo yavol eros kibala sa kodesh, p'yarish v'lo yavol eros b'hanasam b'nirtikam, shem ki nivlayim bo, u'men adin ayil l'nos b'chivim yisei b'nei shemayim. It really is a chivim yisei b'nei shemayim, like the Ramban. Rather, Chazal, Halacha Mishnah Sinai, placed it on the Kanayim. The Tanya, Hagonim is a Kissa, Kanayim Pogimbo, Varmin and my Kissa, Maravuda Klisharis. So he brings both together. So you see that it's one comes from one Yisod. And the Isser of Gonim Klisharis, it's also not a regular Isser Geneva. But it's also a din, because we have an Isser Geneva already. Why do we need to place an additional Isser Geneva on the Klayam Migdosh? Is the same point. Is not only how wrong is it to steal, not only when you steal the clay shards, you're stealing like you're stealing from your friend, but you're being mezalzel on the clay amigdash, saying that you could take the clay amigdash home and try to be kone it, and that would answer another question. The Menchas Chinuch, I don't know how many other times he does this, in the beginning of Bamidbar, speaks when the Chinuch doesn't speak. The Chinuch follows the Rambam, so he has no mitzvos, ledoros, and parshas Bamidbar, and he starts with parshas Naso. The Menchas Chinuch in the beginning of Bamidbar is like three quick points about this lav, he wants to discuss this lav, and he thinks that for the Rambam, you would be chayiv also for Geneva. Not only are you violate this, of whatever Isra it is for the Rambam, but the Rambam brings this down in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Tesvov, Paragraph Ches, which is interesting if you look in the context. It's the beginning of Paragraph Ches is Elohim Alokin, Chiyuvei Malkus. Within Chiyuvei Malkus, he brings the din of Kanayim Pogimbo. Hagonev Klisheris Min Amigdosh, V'Makal Bekosim, V'Bal Ramis, In Bezin Nizkakim Len, Elo HaKanayim Pogimbo, V'Chol HaRogin Zacha. So the Ram's Lashon is Hagonev Klisheris Min Amigdosh. That you take it from the Migdosh, maybe we'll get back to that point. But the Minchas Chinuch thinks that not only you overrun this Isser, and Kanayim Pogimbo, you also violate the regular veer of Geneva, your Ganav, you stole from the Migdosh. And that's Lashon of the Migdosh. It's not enough just to take it. You have to take it specifically from the Migdosh. But the question that some of the Achronim ask in the Minchas Chinuch, the Kli Chemda in Bamidbar, and Yosef Engel doesn't ask this question in the Minchas Chinuch, but he has a whole piece in Simen Gimel, but how you understand the Isser Me'ila of Hektish, is there really such a concept of Mamon Hektish that you could steal it? Maybe Hektish is like Lashem Arts Meloah, which the Yerushalmi says is the makar for Amiras Gavoa, that you could be makar something just through your dibor, that no matter where it is, no matter where the chayfetz is, it's in the Rosh Hashanah Bono Shalom, so you can't actually steal something of Hektish. I didn't look into this enough, but I think when the Gemara Bava Kama has a miut from Geneva of Hektish, so I think there's a discussion, this is the Mechas Chinuch taking a side in this, is that just memayit from the chi of Karen? You don't have to pay for it, but you're over on the Isser Geneva? Or no, there's no Isser Geneva at all. You can't, you're not doing anything. You can't steal Hektish. But for the Minchas Chinuch thinks, for the Rambam, that you can steal. But I think the conscious would be the way to, for the Urayim and the Bahag, that you don't have to necessarily steal it in Dini Mamras to violate the Isser. It's not a regular Isser Geneva. It's an Isser of Zilzal Migdash, Zilzal Kleya Migdash, to take it, and even if you haven't accomplished anything halachic, you didn't make a kinyan out of it, but to think that you could, take it and hide it and bring it home and make it disappear, as the Ramban said, that's one and the same of the original Isser of not letting them be appeared while you're carrying them, and therefore the Bahag Kekan Ledoros. Even though the Minchas Chinuch is saying this in the Rambam, but it's possible that's where the Rambam is trying to get it also, that you're going to the Klisharis Min HaMikdash. That it's not just the Isser Gnev on Klisharis, that these things can't be stolen, and just like you can't steal a Shor HaChamor, you can't steal a Klisharis, and there's an additional Isser for stealing it, it's taking it from the Migdash itself in its context of being Klei HaMikdash. Then that's maybe why the Rambam specifically says, "I'm from the Migdash." Wouldn't negate the Minchas Chinuch that you could also be over in Geneva, but it could be that the Rambam is trying to get at that at all. So that's I think the basics on this mitzvah and to shed light on why the Bahag canceled the Doros and the Rambam did not. And then you have another smaller background machlokas about what Remez could possibly mean, and needs more work in terms of what Kanayim Pogimbo, what exactly that entails.
The Hashem Ratzon Law.
Yeah.